This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, before I went off to seminary, and way before I was the chaplain in the school here, I did work with children and youth in this place. Many of you might know that. And as part of the work with the youth, we would once in a while go on ropes courses. And some of you who are youth or have worked with youth or maybe in the business world or in other aspects of organizations that want to do group bonding, ropes courses are a good way to do that. How many of you have ever been on a ropes course? Just a show of hands. Okay, a few of you. And you guys, the youth, you've been, yes? Yes? This church was no different, and we took a group of probably about 20 youth on a ropes course down in Broward County. It was a beautiful Saturday. And if you don't know what a ropes course is, there are low elements and there are high elements. And the low elements are a series of challenges that the group must accomplish together. And you encourage one another, and leaders emerge, and you realize who you can trust and how you can encourage other people to be trustworthy. And you may have to go, for instance, from a block of wood over here, about this far off the ground, still on the ground, to a block of wood over there. And you're given just a few pieces of long boards, maybe a rope, and the board doesn't reach from here to there, though. And so as a group, you have to figure out how to get everybody who has to stand on this little platform to the other platform without touching the ground. And it can be done. You don't believe it, but by the time you finish the exercise and good professional trainers with you that coach you in problem solving, you accomplish the goal, and it's amazing. And so there are probably, I don't know, hundreds of different exercises that you can do for low elements. So we spent the morning doing those, all was well. Lunch, after lunch, we went to the high elements. Now, high elements are just that, they're high, with ropes. And so there was a zip line, which was always, you know, everybody loves the zip line, and I actually did it. They encouraged the two adult leaders that were there, myself and Gigi Brewer, some of you might remember Gigi, go down the zip line, and it was exhilarating and fun, and I did it. Everybody, by the way, had the option to pass if you didn't want to do an exercise, but really nobody had passed yet. So then another high elements exercise was this tightrope. And you really, it was high too. It was probably as high as these lights, maybe even higher. And you had to walk, and you're tethered. You have a harness, but it doesn't really make you feel that secure. It's still really panicky feeling. And so you go across the tightrope, and I actually did that one too, no problem. And then we came to the pole. And I'm talking about a telephone pole. And the task was that you had to climb the telephone pole and stand up on top of it. And you have the harness, yeah, but I guarantee you, you do not feel like you have a harness. Am I right about that? And so you have to climb up this telephone pole with those little metal rungs that stick out, you know, and you climb and you climb. Well, I was figuring that this would be the one that I would pass, right? And that nobody would notice. Well, everybody went, and everybody on the ground now, especially for the high elements, encourages the person that's doing the exercise to complete it and gives them all kinds of positive reinforcement. And just about everybody was able to get up to the top and stand up top. And those that weren't were gradually let down by the harness. And so it was still a lesson learned that they did the best that they could. So everybody finished except me, and started to move on, and I thought, oh good, they're not going to notice. Well, then they did. And they encouraged me to try and try and try, so I finally said, okay, I would try. So I climbed and climbed and climbed, and my heart started to beat harder and harder and harder. And I got to the top because of the encouragement of the kids on the ground, and I got all the way to the top. And then when you get to the top, what's tricky is that you have to somehow get your legs around on top of this pole into a crouching position, right? Because you can't stand up right away, so you're like this. And because of their encouragement, I was able to get to the crouch. And then I froze. And everything, I couldn't hear. It was like white noise. I couldn't see. I was starting to have a panic attack. I just was shaking. I didn't even feel like I could move to pull the harness to be let down. I just completely froze until I heard the voice of our trained leader on the ground, and she spoke my first name. She said, "Wendy, trust your legs. Push with your feet, and your legs will know what to do. They will remember. Trust your legs." And for some reason, I heard her voice. We had been following her instructions all day, so I knew I could trust her. She knew what she was doing. I pushed with my feet, and I found out they really did know, my legs knew what to do. And I stood up. The part I didn't tell you, though, is once you're on top of the telephone pole, there's this trapeze that comes, and that's how you get down. So you're supposed to jump from the top of the telephone pole and grab the trapeze. Minor detail. So you grab the trapeze, and then you're lowered down. So I knew that this was coming, and so I'm standing on top of the pole, and I could still hear her voice because she didn't miss a beat. Once I got up and stood up, and they all were cheering, then I could hear their cheers, and then she immediately said, "Focus, reach, jump." And she just kept repeating it so that I didn't have time to let my own fear seep in. And I did it. And I focused and I reached and I jumped. But I had been so nervous that my hands were just all sweaty and I lost my grip. But the harness gently, gently, gently let me down to the ground. I will never forget that day. And especially, I will never forget that young woman professional, because I was able to accomplish that only because I heard and recognized her voice, and I trusted her voice. And I will never forget the lesson in that for me. Our gospel today is like that. Jesus says, "I know my own, and my own know me." And he continues, "And I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." All of us, every one of us are called by name. All, no exceptions. The whole human family is inside the flock of God's love. We do have a choice to make whether to accept that or not, but the whole family of God is included in that. Now, Jesus, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, as some of you Cradle Episcopalians might know. We do this Easter fourth Sunday of Easter every year. And Jesus uses this metaphor of the Good Shepherd because in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, people would have been around shepherds all the time. They would have been shepherds themselves. They would see sheep everywhere. Still today, there are lots of sheep in the Middle East. It's foreign to us. So if Jesus were here today giving the same kind of a lesson, he might say, "I am the good teacher. I am the good parent. I am the good ropes course instructor. I am the good coach. I am the good nurse." And just like those good leaders, he was saying that the good shepherd is the one that you can trust. To listen for that voice above the din of all the noise in our world, to listen for that voice to help us navigate the difficult times that all of us come up against. They knew this metaphor because it was the shepherd that would feed them, the shepherd that would lead them to water, the shepherd that would guide them with the rod and with the staff, you know, with the big curve on the top if they fell over the side of the cliff, to pull them back up from the side of the cliff and to go look for any that were lost, always looking, always, and always giving more and more chances. The other thing that they would know in that time especially about the shepherd metaphor is a familiarity, because they would have heard it in Scripture, in the Hebrew Scripture. Throughout the Hebrew Scripture, you hear about shepherds and sheep and pastures and pastoral things. They would have known that as well. And so also then they would have known the 23rd Psalm that we read together a little while ago. And what was stunning to me that I realized one day, I think it was in seminary, it never dawned on me until then, that the 23rd Psalm is a prayer that Jesus himself would have used. Up until that realization, when I would pray the 23rd Psalm, I was always thinking about Jesus. And I still do, except that Jesus would have prayed this also to God. The Lord is my shepherd. And I bet you he prayed it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Today, even for people who never read the Bible, never go to church, it is the most common psalm selected for funerals. Am I right? Yeah. You always hear it because of the comfort. It's something that we turn to in moments of panic or in the middle of the night. I was reading one priest that described it as a psalm that sits up with us in our sleepless nights. I love that. It sits up with us when we can't sleep. And that's the comfort that that kind of an image has brought to all of us. I remember when I was a nurse and then as chaplain of the school and now as a priest, when I would sit at the bedside of someone who is dying or really ill, and sometimes I will pray that psalm, and you can see, even if they are just close to death, you can see a recognition on their face or a little smile, or they'll begin to pray with you or take a deep sigh of relief for the familiarity. It reminds us, reassures us, that we do have that connection, and it helps to reconnect us, religio, religion, as I've said before, that reconnecting us to who we really are and whose we really are. When we take the time to really listen for the voice of God and use things like the 23rd Psalm to help us remember, we go deeper and deeper into relationship with God. And my sisters and brothers, I invite you to please take that time, for you will be richly rewarded. Find the time to get still, to practice listening, and then you'll recognize the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus in all aspects of your life. And ultimately, that security to know that you can depend on something so much greater than yourself. And that amazing miracles will happen. And just like in Acts reading, when Peter was in trouble with the authorities because they were threatened. And he said, no, no, it wasn't me. It was because of Jesus Christ working through me. And held that up. So, as a gift to you, hopefully, I'd like you to think also about the 23rd Psalm as Carol Houselander, mystic and author, says. It's as if we are being held in the arms of a loving parent or friend. And she writes, think of a child asleep in her mother's arms. The abandon with which she gives herself to sleep can only be because she has complete trust in the arms that hold her. She is not lying asleep on that heart because she is worn out with anxiety. She is asleep there because it is a delight to her to be asleep there. And we can fall into the arms of Christ's love. And just like that tether that held me and so gently when I was so panicked, lowered me down to solid ground, so too does the voice of Christ. And so hopefully now you will be reassured and comforted by a reading of the 23rd Psalm. And I invite you to close your eyes, if you'd like, and allow yourself to be in the arms of love. Hear your own name being called. Be reassured of the voice of Christ personally and deeply. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.